Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, is here in studio. Minister, you're very welcome to the studio.
Good morning, Mary.
You're in your last month as Finance Minister, and if the reshuffle proceeds as planned, you'll be handing over to Michael McGrath in late December. But you must be delighted that you've navigated so many difficulties at home and abroad to hold on to the presidency of the Eurogroup of Finance Ministers. I wonder how much diplomacy and hard graft did you have to expend both at home and abroad to do that?
So the process in relation to the president of the Eurogroup still has a little bit more to go. The final vote in relation to it will be happening on Monday week. And if I could explain just very quickly what the Eurogroup is. The Eurogroup is the group of finance ministers of all those countries in the European Union who share a common currency in the euro. And it's 342 million people within that currency zone, making the euro one of the most important currencies in the world. It's been my privilege over the last 2.5 years to lead and coordinate that group. And really, in making the case for a second term, it's making the case for the work I've done over the last nearly 2.5 years. And I hope my fellow ministers will ratify my appointment then on Monday week.
And what I was asking you there was how you navigated the territory you had to navigate, both at home with Michael McGrath and Fianna Fáil in a coalition government, and abroad to hold on to the job, because you won't be finance minister anymore. And I think Jean-Claude Juncker accepted all previous holders of the office have been finance ministers.
But it's been making the case for the work that I've done. The answer to your question is contained in how I set expectations for what I would do over the last 2.5 years. And then I've worked very hard with the support of the government and colleagues to deliver them. When I asked for support in my first term as president of the Eurogroup, I said I would seek common ground, I would always go for consensus, and I would work with all countries within Europe, small, big and medium sized.
Was
that's
it
what I've done.
A tough conversation with Michael McGrath?
The party leaders and the three parties in government have been so supportive and so generous in their efforts to support Ireland in retaining the role of president of the Eurogroup. It really does go beyond personalities or individual people within within the government. I have a very close and I believe very effective working relationship with Michael over many years. We worked very closely together. No decisions are made regarding who's doing what in the next government.
He was very clear though, wasn't he, some weeks ago about the finance minister being the one at ECOFIN, being the one at the table. Now, I know he will still be there when he assumes the role now. So was that the crucial issue in getting this over the line for you?
I think it's entirely understandable that the parties in government want to understand and be confident that the role of Minister of Finance will be unchanged. Michael, I believe, has done an exceptional job as Minister for Public Expenditure. And I can say that as somebody who has held the role, who's worked closely with him. And if he has the opportunity, and none of us know who'll be doing what in a few weeks' time, to continue that work as Minister of Finance, I look forward to working closely with him. But the broad picture that the government was aware of is the value of the office of President of Eurogroup. The value, I think, in that role being associated with Ireland and making the case for its retention, which I hope on Monday week will happen. But as I said, my colleagues in Europe have to ratify the appointment.
So you're not counting your chickens quite yet.
Experience has taught me about the value of being very careful in respecting other governments and allowing the final decision to be made.
Okay.
As I said yesterday, was an important moment and it is very important that colleagues have recognised the work that I've done in Europe from other finance ministers, but the final decision is a week away, yes.
Well, let's look at what's left in that in tray in your final month as finance minister. You're launching the nuts and bolts, I suppose, today of the temporary business energy support scheme announced on Budget Day, approved now by the European Commission to be administered by Revenue. Can you just tell us who'll be gaining here and by how much?
So the Temporary Business Energy Support Scheme is a scheme the government announced on Budget Day to recognise the huge challenge that small and medium-sized businesses are now facing. This day last week, I was in Granard in County Longford and I met so many small businesses who are very concerned about what December could bring. The way it will work is through the Revenue Commissioner, we'll make available a support of up to €10,000 per month for a premises, or up to €30,000 per month for businesses that have multiple premises. The scheme will be open for registration this weekend. And then we need businesses who apply to then put their claims in for support by the 5th of December. And payments will be made available by the end of the year.
And I suppose if I was to paraphrase what the small businesses and shopkeepers were saying at a recent Oireachtas committee report, meeting, thanks, Minister. It's not enough. You need to go back before September. And we need to know what more you are going to do for us, because this is the toughest it's been.
And I fully understand and appreciate why that case has been made. I really do. Because for so many, particularly our smaller businesses, having come through the grueling experience that was trying to look after a business during COVID, then face this, I utterly understand why they want to know what the future will bring and why I can't do more. I'd say two things. Firstly, this is a scheme that will cost €1.2 billion. It is a huge programme, probably, and it is actually the single biggest announcement on Budget Day. And during COVID, I was always called upon to do more and more, to expand schemes, to make them bigger. And I believe during the
year... And you did.
Well, we prolonged schemes and I believe we got the balance right. But every time I did something, I faced the very claims you've just described there. And I need to be confident that whatever programme I bring forward is affordable and can make a difference. And I believe we've got the balance right here. And then the government will reach a view and evaluate where we are in January and February for 2023.
So is the key here in what you're saying that there may not be more money right now, but that you might look to extend it?
We will have to consider the future of the scheme. The key thing for me at the moment, Áine, is to look at two different qualities of the scheme. The first one is to understand exactly how many businesses come onto the scheme, what their average payment will be, and therefore what the overall cost of the scheme will be. And secondly, then, related to that, is what the business owners in Granard, is what the business owners who you've just been referring to are saying, is what impact does it have? Is it delivering the desired impact? And while I'm confident that it will make a difference, and I am, of course, we'll have to evaluate this with hard facts and data in the coming months.
Let's look at another area where you may be called on to open the coffers. Transport Infrastructure Ireland announcing those toll increases recently. They could add up to €100 to the cost of motoring at a time when people don't have any spare cash. Now, Leo Varadkar said they're unwelcome, they should be deferred or they should be reduced. We've had Eamon Ryan saying if you do that, you're going to have to compensate the private companies. There are contractual arrangements, figures between 25 and 30 million. What are you going to do?
So as the Taoiseach said yesterday, we just have to evaluate this issue carefully. Of course, we do appreciate the added cost that motorists face due to these changes. It is the first change that has happened in some time, but this is of little solace to those who are paying it at the moment. But it is in an effort to recognise the cost that our car users are facing at the moment. It's the reason why we reduced the excise on petrol and diesel in the first place. So what the government will do, and we're doing this at the moment, is consider, can we do it? What the consequences of it will be? And we'll bring that evaluation to conclusion.
Well, can you do it, Minister? You are the Minister for Finance. Can you give us an answer to that question? Because these increases kick in on the 1st of January.
But respectfully, I can only give an answer when I'm confident if it can be legally done, and when I'm also clear on what the broad costs of this could be. As you'll know, this does relate to private sector contracts as well in relation to how these charges are discharged. And as the Taoiseach and others have said during the week, we have to give this careful consideration. While appreciation it has an additional cost, but it is why we reduced excise. It is why we have additional
support. But are you in the Varadkar corner here that these charges, these increases should be either deferred or reduced?
Of course I am in the Varadkar corner in relation to these issues. But what the Taoiseach has also said is we need to look at how this could be done, and we need to be very careful in looking at what the broader consequences of it could be, which is what we're doing at the moment. But we had a budget only a few weeks ago of €11 billion, evaluated by the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council only a couple of days ago, that was designed to respond back to these higher costs.
Let's move on to issues in East Wall and the housing of asylum seekers and those seeking international protection. You're meeting residents from East Wall today. You've been concerned, you've said, at the rhetoric, at the language that have been that has been used by some in relation to what's happening there. What are you going to say to residents today?
So I've been talking to many of them all week since the issue developed. I have done my very best to get back to those who've raised the issue with me, because it has been a great privilege and a great honour to represent the community of East Wall and other communities for many terms now within the Oireachtas. What I will be doing is listening to the many different issues and concerns that are being raised. I'd make the point that some of the language and claims that I am uncomfortable with are being raised by a very, very small number of people, and in engaging with the groups...
Would you call it racism?
Well, I think some of the language that has been used by a very small number of people, I am uncomfortable with. I'm going to pause for now in using that term, because I want to engage with and listen to broader concerns that have been raised and try to respond back to many other issues that I accept are genuine. I think this is a charged environment that we're in. It's been made more difficult by a small number of people, but in dealing with the residents of East Wall and those who represent them, they're raising these matters, I believe, in an appropriate way, and I understand why they're raising those issues. The East Wall community and many of the communities in the Northeast Inner City display their generosity and kindness day after day. And it's in that spirit I'm going to be engaging
and
representing.
Will you say to them today what Leo Varadkar has said, that people don't have a veto on who lives beside them?
I've said that at other points in the past. We are in an extraordinary situation at the moment, Mary, as you will know. In a normal year, our country would consider around 4,000 people for participation in our international protection scheme. It's now over 14,000. We are now supporting 45,000 Ukrainians in our country who are fleeing a war. And the choice that we face for many who will be moving into these centres all over Ireland, not just in East Wall, is do we leave those who are looking for protection in tents? Do we leave them sitting and sleeping on chairs? Or do we try to provide alternative accommodation?
Well, what do you say to people? And they may say it to you today at that meeting. And they say, we can't get a home. Our children can't get a home. What's your answer to them?
That is the reason why we are working so hard to try to build more homes, to try to ensure and support, for example, Dublin City Council in the social housing programmes that they have underway. It's the reason why it is important and valuable to see more new homes being built in Ireland now than we have seen for many years. But we're in a situation that when we are coping with so many coming into our country, that our accommodation services, our supports, come under extreme strain. And what I will be doing is recognising and trying to respond back to issues that I know why they're being raised, being against language and the perspective of a tiny minority that I don't support, but saying that we do need to play our role in dealing with this.
And let us end on this. Will the facility in the old ESB building continue to be there and continue to do the job it's doing at the moment?
Yes, I believe it will. I have said this to those who've raised this issue with me. If that centre is shut down, we will create similar issues elsewhere, maybe even within my own, in other communities within Dublin. And what we are going to see happen over time is more of these centres being needed for a period of time. And what we need to do, which I'll play my role in doing, is look at how we can respond back in a sensitive and an appropriate way to genuine matters that we know are being raised, while also being aware of the obligations that we have to those who are also in vulnerable and difficult situations.
Minister, thank you. Minister Pascal Donoghue.
Thank you.